Hi, this is Paul Jindrasiak with Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined by Ed Dobson. Ed is the pastor emeritus of Calvary Church. He's authored a number of popular books, his Live for a Year Like Jesus, and is presently doing a web-based film series entitled Ed's Story at edstory.com that candidly shares his experiences and wisdom while living with ALS. Thanks so much for joining me, Ed.
I'm delighted to be with you, Paul.
How are you today?
Well, I'm alive and well and grateful for today.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, I understand you were born and raised in Northern Ireland, and around 1964 you came to the U.S. What brought you and your family here?
Oh, wow. Well, my dad, who's Irish, was born in Detroit.
Okay.
And shortly after, his mom died, and his dad remarried an Irish girl.
Okay.
And they were so homesick, they went back to Northern Ireland. And my dad decided he would come visit, and in the process, he discovered he was an American citizen.
Okay.
Didn't know it.
Okay.
And so after he came back from a month or two, he got us all together one night and said, I think we should go to America. So we did.
And how old were you at the time?
I was 14.
Okay.
At the time.
And what were your first impressions of the U.S.? Was it what you expected from what you may have seen on television and media at the time?
Well, I remember standing on the deck of the Queen Elizabeth.
Wow.
Coming into New York Harbor, and all the light of the buildings were on. I had never seen something that big ever.
That sounds like an incredible memory.
Yeah. And the cars, they were huge. And my first meal was at Howard Johnson's.
Okay.
And I ordered a hot dog.
Okay. Had you had a hot dog before?
No.
No. First time.
Yeah. I figured everybody ate hot dogs in America.
Sure.
So I wanted to be American.
Well, I love that story. And what did you want to try next that you felt was very American?
Well, I ended up at high school in South River, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I skipped a couple of grades.
Okay.
And they had an American kid to help me get adjusted. It was Joe Theismann.
Oh, really? From the Redskins?
Yeah.
Right.
And so when he went off to Notre Dame, I became a Notre Dame football fan.
Okay, okay. Now, I understand that you were in college and you were going to school to become a surgeon, and you then had a calling to be a pastor. Can you tell me a bit about what made you feel that that was a path that you needed to explore?
Well, I attended a Christian college.
Okay.
And they kept preaching in chapel about surrendering your life to the Lord.
Okay.
Which I had really never done.
Okay.
I was good in math and science, so I wanted to be a surgeon. And after a series of messages, I really felt the calling to pastoral ministry. So one night, I surrendered to that.
Okay. And you then, once you became a pastor, you went to work for Jerry Falwell for a while. You were also part of, I guess, what was known as the Moral Majority. What was that experience like for you?
Well, first of all, Jerry Falwell is a kind, engaging, funny, personable individual. And on TV, he comes across as pretty hard-nosed, but personally, he's the opposite. And I really enjoyed all of my time in Lynchburg.
Now, how did the two of you meet?
When I was in college, I preached at Jerry Falwell's church. And after college, I was digging graves. So he offered me a job. And I figured it was better than digging graves.
Now, you feel that he really helped lay the groundwork for you in becoming a pastor?
Yes, in a large part.
Mm-hmm.
He was influential in my life.
What was some of the best advice you feel that he dispensed to you?
I think... The ability to listen to what people are really saying,
mm-hmm.
and his ability in the midst of a crisis to bring a sense of hope.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was a pretty interesting time for the country politically at that time. You were involved in the Moral Majority, but how would you say that your feelings have changed since then, perhaps?
Well, the advantage to the Moral Majority is we registered millions of new voters.
Mm-hmm.
The downside was once you become part of the political process, you're co-opted by the process.
Mm-hmm.
And in looking back, I think we got co-opted by the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
But we did register all sorts of new voters.
Right, because I know that you had gone on to write or co-author a book, Blinded by the Might, which dealt with some of that.
Yes. I think in Blinded by Might, the underlying theme was if you're going to change America, you have to do it one heart at a time, one street at a time, one city at a time. And the idea of doing it from the top down is actually not how to do it at all.
Do you think people are finally getting that?
I don't know. I doubt that people are getting that. Every election, people say this is the most important election.
That's
ever.
Very true.
Yeah, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were down south for quite a bit. What brought you to Grand Rapids here?
Well, for about a year, my wife and I were praying that God would lead us into pastoral ministry. I was doing so many things in Lynchburg, I really felt my heart and soul were in pastoral ministry.
And you didn't feel that you had that opportunity there?
I did to some degree, but I was teaching, mm-hmm. administrating, running the magazine, helping with television and radio. I was doing so many different things. I wanted just to be a pastor.
And what was it about Grand Rapids? Had you traveled here before? Did you know folks here?
No. I was actually interested in the church in New York City.
Okay.
Where everybody doesn't give a rip about God.
Okay.
I came to Grand Rapids to preach because of Bob Kriegel.
Okay.
Who started Kriegel Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with the committee and told them I wasn't one iota interested in Grand Rapids. It was too religious for me.
Okay. No, so
but
you...
they called me anyway.
Okay, okay. And once you got here, what were your impressions of Grand Rapids? This was back probably around, what, 1986, 87?
Yeah, 87.
Okay.
Oh, I loved the city.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were wonderful. And the church really grew.
Mm-hmm.